I've got an absolutely stellar Acoustic Tuesday show in store for you today, but first, I want to talk about acoustic guitar players and their arch nemesis. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it, bar chords. Yes, they hurt your hands. Yes, they turn your fingers into pretzels. Yes, there's odd contortions we do just to make a maybe good-sounding bar chord. But I will say this. When you understand the power of bar chords, you will say to yourself, okay, Tony convinced me. I think they're worth the pain. So we're going to play a little bit of a game here. We're going to play two facts and three tricks. It's a game I just made up, but I'm going to share with you two facts about bar chords, and then I'm going to share with you three tricks to help make your bar chords cleaner and more consistent, and ultimately, buzz-free. So let's start with the facts. Fact number one, bar chords are movable, which means if you learn one bar chord shape, you've immediately added 12 chords to your chord knowledge library. Check this out. We all know this beautiful chord, right? It's an F chord. It's big, it's huge, it's a six-string bar chord, but since it is six strings, that means it's completely movable. The root notes here on the low E string, that's an F, so this is an F chord. But if we move it up two frets, that's a G, so this is a G chord. If we move it up two more frets, that's an A, so that's an A chord. So yes, once you learn one single bar chord shape, you've just added 12 chords to your chord library. The second fact is that bar chords are easily flexible and shiftable to other chords. Usually just one finger changes the entire nature of the chord. Case in point, let's go back to this F chord. This is an F major chord. If I lift up my middle finger, please don't take offense, and I just put that and use that to kind of help out my bar finger, that becomes a minor chord. And that's just as movable as the other position. If I lift up my pinky finger, so now I have an F7 chord. So if you take the fact that bar chords are movable, and if you take the fact that bar chords are easy to manipulate, you extend your chord library a ton, right? You take one shape, add 12 chords to your chord library, you start manipulating that shape, and then pretty much you have this exponential growth in your chord knowledge. Pretty awesome. And while that's good, bar chords are still kind of a pain in the butt, which is why I'm going to share with you three tricks to help improve your bar chords. And the first one has to do with your index finger, right? Usually when we bar chords or we think about barring chords, we take the pudgy or meaty part of our finger and place that on the strings. However, if you roll to that outside of your index finger, it's a much harder surface and you're going to get better contact with the strings to the fret, which will make you have a much more consistent sound. The second trick I have for you is a little bit unconventional, but one that I think will help you a ton. It involves your picking hand. In fact, it involves your picking hand elbow. You're going to take your picking hand elbow and push it on the face of the guitar. Not really hard. We're not trying to put the guitar in a headlock. We're just taking the body of the guitar, pushing it towards our body, and this is going to force the neck into your fretting hand. By doing so, again, you're going to get better contact with the strings and a much more secure and confident fretting hand position. And then the last trick I have for you is, well, a lot of times people will call it cheating, but I can assure you it's not. And that is to shorten or condense the chord. If the full six-string bar chord isn't in your wheelhouse right now, shorten it. Maybe play the high four strings. Maybe play the low three strings. Those are all stepping stones for you to get to the full bar chord position. And that's okay. It's not a shortcut. It's not cheating. It's just taking a baby step towards that full bar chord position. So there you have it. I guess we can call it two truths and no, there's actually no lies. We'll call it two facts and three tricks. It's a new game I just developed. So there you have it. Tricks on bar chords, and really they can become a huge asset to your playing. In the comments below, I want you to tell me if this was a light bulb moment for you, or if you have any other bar chord tricks you want to share with your fellow guitar geeks, because we can all benefit from our collective guitar geek knowledge. All right, this week on Acoustic Tuesday, you've already learned the inside and outside of bar chords. You're going to learn about a musical tool that will help your acoustic life in four different ways, and it's one that I was very skeptical about when I first received it. You're also going to learn about a product that will keep your ear golden, and lastly, we're going to listen to a fingerstyle guitar trailblazer, somebody you absolutely need to know. That's all coming up right after this. I'm Tony Policastro, and this is the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Guitar geeks, unite. Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode 130. This is the show where we're going to learn about acoustic guitar gear, discover acoustic artists, and get inspired to live your very best acoustic life. As with all episodes of Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to share with you my guitar geek list for the week. But prior to digging into that, let's reflect and think about, well, your guitar geek trivia question. Yes, this is a very health-conscious guitar geek trivia question, one that involves your two most important things, well, your ears, both left and right. Here's your question of the day. At what decibel level does hearing loss begin to occur? Is it A, 65 dB, B, 75 dB, C, 85 dB, or D, 95 dB. Go ahead and ponder that. Now, there's a little graph there that shows kind of the decibel level associated with common levels of sound. So if the dB means nothing to you, just look at this graph and see at which decibel level does hearing loss begin to occur. Go ahead and ponder that. And at the end of the show, I'll give you the answer, but I want you to be on the lookout because here coming up, I've got a little important tip for you that could actually help your little ears, your little beloved ear flaps there. That as acoustic guitar players, well, we have to treasure those little buddies. But I do want to move into the Guitar Geek list today, and I've got something that's very awesome coming up. Actually, two things that both took me by surprise. But first, I have to confess, you know, it's been a long weekend here in Bozeman, Montana. I think I've shoveled about 78 to 82 times. I actually lost count. Whitney is pushing me to get a four-wheeler with a plow, which I'm really excited about, but I kind of worry how that's going to cut into the guitar purchase fund. So it's a difficult conundrum I'm stuck in. Four-wheeler with plow or, you know, really nice guitar. If you have an opinion, go ahead and leave one in the comments below. I would love your help. In fact, if there's something I can say that would convince Whitney that the guitar is more important than the plow, I'm totally open to that. So I'm going to go off of your experience. Let me know in the comments below if there's anything that I can make a case for the guitar. I would really appreciate that. But let's dig into actual guitar items. And that is, again, two items that were sent to me by other manufacturers. And the first of which I thought when I received it, I don't know if I'm going to feature this in the show because I don't see myself using it at all. And that's really the caveat. Whenever any manufacturer sends us anything here to the Acoustic Tuesday show, it always comes with the caveat that, you know, you can send us whatever you wish, but if I don't like it, I just won't feature it in the show. And I immediately, without using this device, thought, you know, I don't think I'm going to feature this in the show. But then I thought, no, I got to give it the old college try, and I'm so glad I did, because the Soundbrenner Core, the newly released Soundbrenner Core, is an incredible tool for any acoustic guitar geek, and I do not say that lightly. This is a wristwatch metronome that actually vibrates to the beat. And the thing I like about this is it's so incredibly versatile. Now, it comes with a wristwatch strap and a body strap. This is the actual metronome piece here. And it's, again, when I opened the box, I thought, am I really gonna use this? But I slapped it on my wrist, I started playing guitar. It's really easy to use. The metronome function is awesome, it's dead on. It's easy to change the beat, it's easy to change the accents, it's easy to change the time signature, and you can actually feel it. The vibrating mechanism in this is like, I want to say it's like three times more powerful than a phone when you put your phone in vibrate mode or if you have a metronome on your phone. And you get real-time feedback, which I found the most beneficial. It actually took me a second to get used to it, but once I started to be able to feel the beat via the vibration, it was really awesome to not have that annoying click. But to train myself, I actually had the app, the Soundbrenner app, open on my phone so I could hear the beep, and then the watch was on so I could feel it. And I would go through these phases where I would have them both on, and then I'd turn the app off to see how I was doing with just the vibration alone. And it worked pretty well. But this is so much more than just a metronome. This is a tuner. You can actually take off the face, and it has a magnet that can latch on to your tuning key. Stick it right on your guitar, and bam, It's a really easy to read and extremely accurate tuner. In fact, I was stunned at how accurate it is. It also has a stopwatch and timer. And for those of you using the Tack Guitar method of improvement, this is great because you can set a stopwatch or a timer rather at 10 minutes. And when your time is up, it vibrates, ensuring that you get your minimum time commitment in. But if you go beyond that, hey, you can set the timer for longer if you want. But it also has a decibel meter, which relates to our trivia question and actually the next product I'm going to feature. The decibel meter is pretty amazing because I put it on while I was playing dobro and I was startled at actually how loud what the sound level was when I was playing dobro. It went from, I think it was about 55 to 60 as I was just sitting in my living room, and then playing the dobro pushed it almost to, it was 85 to 90 while I was playing the dobro. So pretty drastic change, and really cool to find out. So an incredible tool. In fact, I want you to see it up close and personal. So here is the Soundbrenner Core promo video. I stand corrected. The vibrating mechanism in the watch is 7 times more strong than a smartphone. And it actually doubles as a smartwatch as well. Not my forte. I'm not a big technological dude, so I did not use the smartwatch feature. I don't want messages on my phone, but that's just me. Nonetheless, I found it incredibly, incredibly useful. Again, the timer, the metronome, the decibel meter, it was all in there. And it's pretty darn convenient. It's right on your wrist. Within the box, you get a body strap, which you saw in the promo video. You also get a set of earplugs, which work great is when the decibel meter goes off and says, hey, not safe environment, so go ahead and throw your earplugs in. So all in all, a great tool, something I wanted you to know about, and something that I feel, gosh, I feel really excited to share with you all because it took me by surprise, and I think you'll find it useful as well. And for viewers of Acoustic Tuesday, we get a special deal. The folks at Soundbrenner, I reached out and I said, this thing's knocking my socks off. What can we do to the folks that watch Acoustic Tuesday? Or what can we do for the folks that watch Acoustic Tuesday? And they're going to give us free shipping. So if you go to their website, which you can access at acousticlife.tv/AT130, go ahead and enter the promo code TonyCore, TonyCore, and you'll get free shipping on that bad boy, which is pretty awesome. And in the comments below, I want to know if you use a metronome or if you strive to use a metronome. Go ahead and let me know. I'm just curious what the pulse is with the Guitar Geek community. If you use a metronome regularly, I think this is something that you should definitely check out. But bottom line, I just want to know if you use one or you don't use one at all. Let me know in the comments below. Now, speaking of earplugs and things like that, as I mentioned, there are earplugs included with the Soundbrenner Core module, the wristwatch and the metronome deal. But the earplugs are okay. I'm just gonna say they're okay. They do the job, they block the sound, but there's a little bit of muffling going on. And how nice would it be to go to a show or be in a loud environment and not just block things, but just bring the level down? Still retaining the clarity, still being able to hear everything, still being able to hear the bass line, hear the guitar, hear the vocals, and do so with clarity? Well, I wanna introduce you to Eero's earplugs. These are little wonder devices. Comfortable, easy to use, and incredibly, incredibly, incredibly useful in terms of going to a show, popping them in, and actually just bringing the level down. Still being able to hear every little thing. These are, I hesitate to call them earplugs. I'd rather call them ear filters because they simply filter the sound, bringing down the overall level. Now, I've reviewed a lot of different ear filtering devices on the Acoustic Tuesday show. I reviewed the Eargasm earplugs, and those were great. Really easy to use, inexpensive, but hard to actually insert and take out. There's just a little silicone tab that you use to do that with, and it depends on your environment, but it's sometimes hard to get in there and wrestle those out of your ears. They still work well, but that's one of the downfalls of that particular earplug. Then I reviewed the Loops earplugs or ear filters. Again, really fantastic in terms of lowering the overall level but retaining the clarity. But I found those about a B minus in terms of comfortability. They're comfortable, but not as comfortable as these Eero's. In fact, I think the Eero's take the cake in terms of how well they function and how comfortable they are. They include two different gasket sizes for smaller ears or larger ears. I had to do the large ones because apparently I have Dumbo ears. I didn't know that until I got these, but that's another point. These are really awesome. And again, super comfortable. They work so effectively. I mean, they're just, I can't say how much I enjoyed wearing these because I actually forgot they were in. And I think that's a true testament to how comfortable they are. Now, I found a video from their founder on how he actually developed these and, more importantly, why. So here that is.
New York. I love this city. I love everything about it. I love the movement. I love the noise. I love the shows. And I spent many years in many loud environments listening to DJs play and bands. And what I've realized is that, A, I love music. B, I have a lot of access to it. And I'll keep doing it. And then later down the line, I realized I have a hearing issue. People don't know what that ringing sound in the ears. And that is a person slowly losing their hearing. Being a DJ led me to clubs and led me to my first nightclub. We decided to build one of the world's most powerful sound systems in New York. And that is where the problem started. Spending probably almost 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in the place. You get home, then you have this acoustical hangover and you wake up with a headache and you're irritable. With the good of what it is and the fun part, there was this other dark side, which is not really addressed in these places because it's gonna be bad for business, and I own them. So being the cause of something, I think I felt an obligation. When I started this, you know, it was a real problem. I've developed a serious case of tinnitus, and this is what led me to an audiologist to get my hearing examined. He fitted me for a musician earplug, cost me a lot of money. I was like looking at these things, I went out with it. And basically, when I wore the one he gave me, people were saying to me, are you wearing a hearing aid? What I wanted to do is make sure that no one else has to go through this. We spend a lot of time and money and engineering to come up with a really beautifully designed product that is superior to anything out there. What it does, it enhances fidelity. And what fidelity means is you're gonna be able to put in product in your ear, you can go out and you'll be able to hear the most amazing music with as much clarity, and you can still have a conversation with someone next to you, and you'll go home and not have this acoustical hangover. I don't want to be a preacher about it, but what I want to do is somehow create an awareness factor, and I think prevention is the foundation. The level of awareness is what's going to shape this product and take it to where it needs to go.
As music appreciators, I think it's very important that we think about our hearing. In fact, in the comments below, let me know if you think about ear protection when you go to a show or you're in a loud environment, because a lot of times it's an afterthought. A lot of times by the time we think about it, it's too late. We've been to the show, we wake up, or we go to the hotel room and our ears are ringing, and it's like, oh man, bummer. And I'm talking, this doesn't have to be a loud rock show. This could even be an acoustic show sitting close. You might be next to the speaker, just not realize how loud it is until afterwards. And unfortunately, that's too late. The beautiful thing about the Eero's is that you can pop them in. Again, like I said, I forgot I was wearing them, but you can actually hear. You can hear everything. You can have a conversation with somebody. You can hear the music. And then you leave the venue feeling like, oh, right. You pop them out and you're like, whoa. It's like almost refreshing in a way. And I've got great news. Again, I reached out to the folks at Eero's. Huge thanks to those folks, by the way. I said, hey, I really dig these. These are super comfortable. They work great. Can we actually help our Acoustic Tuesday viewers get a set of these so they're conscious about their hearing protection? And they said, absolutely. So if you go to their website, which you can access at acousticlife.tv/AT130, go ahead and enter the promo code TonyAC10. And you'll get 10% off your order. That's TonyAC10, TonyAC10. Get 10% off your order of Eero's. And they come with a nice little carry case and pretty nice and convenient. Something, a nice easy step to protect your hearing so you can enjoy music for much longer. And something, again, as music appreciators, I think we should definitely take into consideration. Now, I want to move on to our show from episode 128, and some great discussion and some great comments, and I want to dig into those right now. The first comment comes from Malvarado Music, and he says this about David Rawlings and Gillian Welch. Really enjoy David and Gillian. I have never heard them before. Haunting harmonies, and it almost sounds like their souls are from about 1935, traveled through the 60s, but have learned to just deal with the modern day. His voice is pretty distinct, but blends so well. Her voice kind of sounds like a cross between Mary Chapin Carpenter and Carole King. Superb playing, simple but intricate and appropriate. The second song has some sounds that remind me of a band I've always loved because of their acoustic roots and playing, and that's Jars of Clay. Earthy and organic. Awesome stuff. And I'm so excited. The reason I singled this comment out is because I had hesitated even introducing David Rawlings and Gillian Welch to the Acoustic Tuesday community because I thought, I'm pretty sure everybody's heard of them before, but here we go. Bam. Somebody had never heard of them. They discovered them through Acoustic Tuesday and probably opened up a whole new world, which is pretty darn awesome. And so cool that he referenced 1935 in his comment because that's the year David Rawlings' guitar was made. It's a 1935 Epiphone Olympic, and I thought that was a pretty cool first full circle moment. Our next comment comes from PGod1960. And he says, hi, Tony. I don't know if you get many comments from the UK. I'm 60 and have played electric all my adult life. But for the past year, I've been on something of an acoustic journey. Best rabbit hole ever. And not without some considerable help from Acoustic Life. Along the way, I've discovered so many incredible artists that I was previously unaware of. Gillian Welch being one. Just incredible. Other favorites include Molly Tuttle, of course, along with the amazing Mandolin Orange, Milk Carton Kids, Peter Mulvey, and so many others. I have to draw your attention to British singer-songwriter and folk artist John Smith and urge you to check him out. His latest album, Hummingbird, is just stunning. Thank you for your weekly inspiration. Best wishes, Peter. So awesome. Thank you for the comment, Peter. In fact, you are not the only one who has recommended John Smith, and I just scheduled him for an upcoming Acoustic Tuesday show, and provided when I check out the copyright, all things work out, we'll be featuring John Smith. And from what I've heard so far, delightful. Totally a delightful acoustic guitar player and somebody that, of course, everybody should know. So if you want a sneak peek, do a little bit of digging on John Smith. I think you'll really enjoy it, all you guitar geeks out there. All right. Our next comment comes from, now this is not the first time this individual has commented because I've laughed at this screen name before, Ron One and Done. He says this, as soon as I heard that trivia question, I knew the answer. Woohoo! Only because I've been fortunate in the last few months to have been prepping and researching for my first ever custom guitar. Off to Preston Thompson Guitars next week to figure out what's what. One thing it will have for sure is a redwood top. Most likely the one from your trivia question. After that, it'll be time to hurry up and wait. So cool. Congratulations on getting a custom guitar built with Tunnel 13 Redwood. I mean, talk about not only an incredible tonewood, but one with a wowing story. Really, really awesome stuff. Our next comment comes from guess who? Loudon Guitars. We featured Loudon Guitars as a Heartbreaker of the Month through Brendan and Toby over at Heartbreaker, and they say very simply, thanks for the love, Tony. Another great video. Well, thank you, Loudon Guitars, for making incredible jaw-dropping instruments. Talk about amazing stuff. Every Loudon I've played, and I played quite a few of them at Brendan's shop down there in Las Vegas, I was kind of torn because they had this beautiful clarity and this beautiful responsiveness. But again, I had the whole sunburst thing, the aesthetic thing. It's a long story. You get the idea. But I've been impressed by every Loudon I played, especially that day, and I played a whole slew of them. And also, the one that Brendan gave us a sneak peek of at NAMM was pretty stunning as well, with the heron inlay. Just great stuff. So thank you, Loudon Guitars, for being incredible makers of very fine instruments. And I just want to thank everybody for their comments. It's so great to see the discussion on the Acoustic Tuesday show right there in the comments. Guitar geeks helping one another out, helping us all discover new things. I mean, just this very day, I got a whole bunch of artists thrown my way just via the comments. So the comments are very useful. Make sure to dig in, participate if you feel moved to do so, and enjoy the guitar geek company that you get in the comments. Tons of love for Gillian Welch and David Rawlings from a lot of longtime fans and those who have just discovered them. So very cool to see that. Richard L. made mention, and he actually caught me red-handed. I did not mention Molly Tuttle last episode, so I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Molly. I'm sorry to all of Molly's fans. I'll keep it up. I'll really try my best. And when I miss a mention, I promise I'll make up for it next episode. And then also, there was a recommendation from a great screen name, Savage Henry Ukulele. I just saw a movie on Amazon Prime for you, In Search of Blind Joe Death, The Saga of John Fahey. Thought I'd mention it because you talk about Fahey a lot. Not as much as Molly Tuttle, but a lot. Indeed, kind of an interesting dichotomy. I do love John Fahey, and I do love Molly Tuttle and her music. And but that movie is a fantastic documentary. I mean, even I want to say Pete Townsend makes an appearance in it. Again, that's called In Search of Blind Joe Death, The Saga of John Fahey. I watched that some time ago and really, really enjoyed it. So thanks for bringing that to my attention again. Really appreciate it. Next up, you know what I want to do? I want to dig into our Artist of the Week. But prior to do so, I do want you to know that you can support the Acoustic Tuesday show by buying Acoustic Tuesday merchandise. All you have to do is go to acoustictuesday.store. Pick out your favorite shirt, your favorite hat. It could be a coffee mug. It could be a sticker or a phone case or a pair of socks. Whatever calls you, I want you to go ahead and order that. Put it on. Step two, take a picture of yourself with your merch on. Maybe you're holding a guitar. Maybe you're on vacation. Maybe you're just at a concert. Either way, we want to see you wearing your Acoustic Tuesday gear, and then submit it at acousticlife.tv. There's a submit link in the top menu. You can go ahead and upload your picture there, tell your story, and then I will reveal it on an upcoming episode of Acoustic Tuesday. Now let's go to the mailbag, real quick arrival in the mailbag. I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago. I'm in a little bit of a time warp. I think the snow is getting to my brain. But the Boucher BG-52 was sent my way, and I just wanted to show it to you all because it's glorious. It's a beautiful, beautiful rosewood dreadnought that sounds incredible. I'm not going to play it right now because, well, I've got a review coming up. I think you'll really, really enjoy it. It's a stunner. It's a total knockout. I haven't played a Boucher. I might have said Bourgeois. If I said Bourgeois, I'm sorry. I meant Boucher. Anyways, I haven't had a chance to play a Boucher Dread, and I've been jonesing to play one, and I'm so thankful and grateful for the folks up in Canada at Boucher for sending one my way, on its way to Sound Pure, which is a fantastic dealer of Boucher guitars, so make sure to check them out. But I'm excited to share that review with you, and actually next week. Shh. All right, moving right along to our Artist of the Week. Our Artist of the Week, I want to thank Dom and Sharon T., out in PA, because they actually brought this name back up to me. Dom and Sharon are Tony's Acoustic Challenge members and, of course, Acoustic Tuesday viewers. They sent me a signed album from this individual, and this individual, his name is Don Ross. Don Ross is a fingerstyle, percussive fingerstyle trailblazer, and somebody who, you just bottom line, you need to know. His compositions are catchy. They have this insane sense of groove to them, and There's an element of intricacy that it's that fine line between it sounding totally perfect and simple almost, but then you watch him play it and you're like, whoa, that's not simple. That's what you're doing is not simple. And I think it's just a beautiful show of how much of an efficient player he is, but how much of an intentional player he is as well. His songs are just, they're earworms. They get in your head and they don't escape. So we're going to listen to a few right now. In fact, we're going to start off with a slower, kind of a sensitive tune called Brooks Waltz. Let's have a listen. Thank you. such a beautiful song. And one of the things that I love about that song in particular is if you don't see him playing it, you kind of listen to it and you think, man, that's a really nice waltz. That's really beautiful. And then you watch him play it and you realize, again, those things that sound simple but are very intricate. You watch his fretting hand and it's stretching like crazy and he's moving all around the guitar neck. And it's just a treat to watch. It's a treat to listen to, but definitely a treat to watch as well. And again, just another indicator of how intentional he is as a player and how effortless. You watch him play and it's just effortless. Now, I've seen Don Ross play, not in person, but I've seen him play with Andy McKee, Callum Graham, I want to say Antoine Dufour as well. But he plays with everybody and he always fits in so well and he always adds just the right touch. A very tasteful player. And I think a sign of that, or rather, I should say, we'll listen to a more tasty song of his called 39 Weeks off of his Three Hands album. Here it is. Delightful tune, and one that really proves my point in that he's just a tasty player. You can tell by the way he plays, how he plays, that he's technically proficient, and he could probably play whatever is thrown his way, and he could probably play it 200+ beats per minute, but he exercises restraint, and I think that's one of those things that is I admire so much in an artist, is when they can exercise restraint and really stick to the song itself and play to the song. I think Don does a wonderful job in that. And let's listen to one more example. It's called August on the Island, and it is from his self-titled debut album released in 1990. Let's have a listen. Don has a whole slew of albums out, and I wanted to list them all, but I just chose a couple of highlights. He's got an extensive discography, as I mentioned, and he's played with so many other folks. But let's dig into some of those albums, ones that I think are standouts. First and foremost, A Million Brazilian Civilians, released in 2017. It is a mouthful for sure, but this is the very album that Dom and Sharon had actually sent to me, signed. And it was so cool because Don, you know, he signed it, but he also put just "Hi Tony" on it. And I thought that was just a cool personal touch. So thank you, Don, and thank you, Dom and Sharon. Next up, this album, this is an interesting story, PS15. Now, PS15 is Passion Sessions, recorded 15 years after its original release. So PS15 was released in 2014, which brings me to Passion Session, which was released in 1999. Funny story about this album. I was a buyer at the Old Town School of Folk Music for their media and CDs and music and things like that. And I fell into the fingerstyle guitar world really hard. I discovered Michael Hedges, found Preston Reed, and that pointed me to Don Ross. So I ordered this album without seeing the album cover. This came in and I thought to myself, I don't know if I'm going to like this. This is, I don't know if I'm going to dig this. I'm a little concerned. But then I played it. And I was like, you know what? I like the album cover. I like the music. It's all good. And I say that with all due respect. It's a fantastic album. And in all honesty, I would recommend buying both albums, Passion Session and then PS15, because it's a really cool way to see how the songs have kind of subtly changed through the years. It's kind of an interesting listening study. The next album I want to highlight is 1234, released in 2013 with none other than Callum Graham, who's been featured on the Acoustic Tuesday show. That is a delightful album and very guitar geeky because the cover is, well, it's mahogany and 1234 is inlaid in abalone. Doesn't get much more guitar geeky than that. And then we'll go very early on in Don's discography. Three Hands, released in 1992, which contains that tune 39 Weeks that you heard. And then also his self-titled album released in 1990, which I think has an awesome cover. Really cool art. I'm always a sucker for album art. So there is your tour de force of Don Ross. To learn more about him, visit acousticlife.tv/AT130. You'll be able to see those performances in their entirety and get links to purchase those albums as well. There's also a link to Don's site. You can see where he's playing, buy his merch directly from him, and also there's some tablature for his songs if you are courageous enough to attempt them. They're pretty awesome. So make sure to check out Don Ross. He is a fingerstyle treasure for sure. Let's wrap up the show with your Guitar Geek trivia answer, your health-conscious Guitar Geek trivia answer. And just as a recap, I want to go over the question because, well, it involves your ears, and those are important. So here was the question. At what decibel level does hearing loss begin to occur? Was it 65 dB, 75 dB, 85 dB, or 95 dB? Well, if you answered C, 85 dB, you're correct. Sound is measured in units called decibels. Sounds of less than 75 decibels, even after a lengthy exposure, are unlikely to cause hearing loss. However, extended or repeated exposure to sounds at or above 85 decibels, approximately the level of a vacuum cleaner, or a leaf blower in this case, can cause hearing loss, which is incredibly startling because as I sat there and played my dobro with my Soundbrenner Core metronome on, with the decibel meter on, I thought to myself, wow, how often do you practice dobro, Tony? It's coming in at like 85 to 90 dB. And it made me think about how other times in my life have I been surrounded by loud noises and consistent and extended loud noises and not done anything about it. It was just kind of an interesting step in the right direction, I think, to have that thought top of mind and think, okay, I really have to start paying attention to my hearing because, well, as a guitar geek and as somebody who loves to listen to music, I don't want to lose access to listening to music. So cover your ears. Use those Eros, or any ear protection for that matter. I just think those Eros are pretty darn awesome. All right, well, that pretty much wraps the show for today. However, we need to take a sneak peek into next week because, well, I just like busting out the crystal ball every now and then. I like giving it a little rub, looking in it, parting the clouds, and seeing what's coming up. And I can do that because I have that ability. Next week on Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to be dispelling some myths about music theory and helping you avoid some huge pitfalls on your guitar journey. We're going to listen to that Boucher that came in the mailbag, and we're going to get an Acoustic Life report directly from one of our previously featured artists. I'm welcome. Guesses are welcome, so if you want to leave in the comments who you think it is, let me know, but you definitely have to tune in next week to find out. Thank you so much for sharing your time with me today. Thank you for being a guitar geek, and remember, Guitar Geeks Unite. I'll see you next Tuesday on the Acoustic Tuesday show. Remember, it airs every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time here on YouTube. And of course, if you just can't get enough of Acoustic Tuesday, please visit acousticlife.tv. You can do a deep dive on anything I've ever featured. Thanks so much, and Guitar Geeks Unite. Cheers.